Your Bibles tonight and turn to Revelation chapter 12. We'll look at verses 3 and 4 of Revelation 12. We've been looking at the doctrine of salvation, and tonight we're looking at the two possible paths of provision. Revelation 12, verses 3 and 4, it says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, it's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to hear about what's going on in the mission field as our missionaries report back to us. And we're thankful for what you're doing and the care for each one and providing for their needs. And Father, for the souls that are being saved, we just thank you for that. Father, tonight, though, as we continue on this journey through the doctrines of salvation, I pray, Father, that you just continue to reveal from your word the truths of your word to us. I pray, Father, that the things that we learn and the things that we know will take out and share with others. Father, there's many people that still need to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so I pray, Father, that we'd be faithful in using each day to your honor and your glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the two possible paths of provision. Plan one, a home in heaven for eternity could be earned by good works of perfect and sinless righteousness. This was God's plan for the angels. I kind of started with this last week, but this was God's plan, right? They would have a perfect place. A perfect place with God in heaven. And still a third of the angels blew it. We have a tendency to say, I just don't get it, and I'm guilty of it too. I just don't get how people don't, how they reject God. How do people think that they have a better way than God has? And yet, here are the angels who were there in heaven with God, and a third of them went the wrong way. Shouldn't surprise us that human beings go the wrong way. The thing that does surprise me, though, I will say, is God's people, after they get saved and they know the truth, depart from it. That's what's surprising. Once you know the truth, you know the better way, why go the other way? These glorious creatures living in the presence of Almighty God in heaven saw a third of their group cast out at the rebellion of Satan, and they followed him. Because they were under this plan, there was no provision for a possibility of salvation for the angels who fell. See, the angels, once they fell, there was no other chance. They didn't get the chances that God has given mankind. And God has given us many chances, many chances. I notice that a lot of times people say, thank God for the God of second chances. How about third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth? I mean, if God hadn't have kept giving us chance after chance after chance, how many of us would be saved today? If I'd have had one chance, I'd have blown it. I'd have heard the preaching of the Word of God for several years. And it wasn't until that one day that I realized I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And I knew that without the Lord Jesus Christ, I was headed to hell. Thank God for that day. But thank God, God didn't just give me one chance. Now, let me add this to that. I wouldn't put it off and risk not having another chance. because we have no idea when we'll take our last breath. These angels are eternally and unalterably condemned to spend eternity in hell and eventually in the lake of fire. That's their doom because of their choice. But that wasn't God's plan for man. God had a different plan for men. This plan, the first plan, would leave all men lost. All have sinned and come short of the standard of which God's perfect holiness requires. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So we would have not been able to ever be saved if that was the standard for mankind, the same one that God gave for the angels. Look at Ecclesiastes. Chapter 7 and verse 20. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." There's not one. We've all sinned. Every single human being. And I don't care. As soon as they're born, they're not taught to sin. They just know. It's indwelt in them. And it's hard to believe, you know, you look at these beautiful babies, and we have a couple babies and been at the church lately, and it's kind of nice having them around, and they're so cute, right? Now I have to drop the bomb. They're a sinner. They go, "But they're so cute." They're still a sinner. And I've already been praying for them. As soon as we knew Miss Holly was pregnant, as soon as we knew about Henry, I started praying that God would reach them at an early age, that they would get saved and devote their lives to serving Him. These are the next generations coming up. We don't know how much time we have, but we need to make sure that there's generations coming up that'll follow God. Look at 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 46 of 1 Kings 8. First Kings 8:46 says, "If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near." Again, there is no man that sinneth not. And then turn over to 2 Chronicles 6:36. Basically, it backs up the last verse from 1 Kings, 2 Chronicles 6:36, "If they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives unto a land far off or near." Then Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. Romans 3, starting verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Over and over and over we see, and people will tell you, "But I'm good." No, we just think we're good based on our own standards, right? I bet if you talk to the majority of the people that have been convicted, And I'm not talking wrongfully convicted. I'm talking about people who have been convicted. The evidence is overwhelming that they're guilty, caught red-handed, the whole nine yards. They'll tell you how good they are and how they were wrongly accused. But God says that's not the case. There's none good. Not even one. Look at Romans 3, 19 and 23. Verse 19 says, now we know what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. And verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then James 2:10, which is one that I use a lot too, is if we offend, right? For whosoever shall keep the whole law and offend in one point, we're guilty of the whole law, right? And so people say, well, I haven't murdered anyone. Okay. Have you ever told a lie? I think my upbringing, my mother was totally against lying. And I lied to her once. And it was such a near-death experience that it put the fear of God in me. And I detest when people lie to me. I thank God for my mother who taught me lying is not a good way to go. In fact, my wife will tell you, if you really want to get my goat, lie to me. And I find out about it. Sets me off. And it bothers me when people will lie when the truth will serve them better. Then, in spite of the clear teachings of Scripture concerning the futility of trusting in human works for salvation, most men still vainly trust in their own works. Even though the Bible keeps saying, shouldn't do that, shouldn't do that, shouldn't do that, it's not going to do you any good to trust in your works, man still wants to. They foolishly trust in the following and will die lost as a result. There's a good path to hell, starting with the alphabet. Letter A, being a good person. Can't tell you how many times I've been on a doorstep and heard that they're a good person. Well, I'm a good person. Not what the Bible says. But see, again, it's not based on God's standard, it's based on their standard. B, treating their neighbor right. Again, treating your neighbor right in your own standard of what's right and wrong, right? C, being better than the hypocrites at church. I hear this all the time. Those churches are just full of a bunch of hypocrites. And my favorite line is, we got room for more. They won't come to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites there when they know they're supposed to be in church. D, never having done anything to hurt anybody. E, going to or joining a church. Yeah, being baptized, letter F. G, being confirmed, taking communion, or repeating the Apostles' Creed, all of which isn't going to do any good. Believing in God without believing on Christ, head consent without believing in one's heart. I've had a lot of people, I believe in God, but that Jesus Christ guy, no. Well, you can't believe in God if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Asking God to forgive you every day. Over and over and over, that's what they do. Keeping the Ten Commandments or the Golden Rule, my favorite. My favorite line, and it's got me in trouble so many times. Well, I keep the Ten Commandments. Name them. And you get the deer in the headlights look. Well, if you're keeping them, you should know what they are. K, being sincere in what you believe. L, having suffered greatly or being poor. M, being raised in a Christian home, nation, or church. Just because you're raised in a Christian nation or a Christian home or a Christian church doesn't make you a Christian. Knowing the Bible. I know a lot of lost people who know the Bible. They've memorized Scripture, but they have no idea how to apply any of it. O, education, enlightenment, intellect, or philosophy, knowing better than those ignorant Christians or not believing in hell. Just because you don't believe in hell doesn't mean it doesn't exist. P, reaching your potential or positive self-esteem. Q, meditation, getting in touch with your true self, being centered, recognizing your supposed divinity within, or being a very spiritual person. What did Jesus say about the spiritual leaders of that time? He rebuked them. Yeah, there was nothing to them spiritually, but they were being spiritual, right? Being satisfied with your religion or having an understanding with the man upstairs. There's another one that gets to me. He's not the man upstairs. He's Almighty God, and he deserves respect. S, joining or serving in a lodge or charity. Well, you know, you give to charity. You serve charity. That ought to count for something, right? I had one guy one time says, my wife does so much good for the community and all, there's no way that God wouldn't let her into heaven. I said, so then you're counting on her good works to get her to heaven, and the Bible says we can't do that. Wrong answer. Tithing or giving. So how much tithing and how much giving do you have to do to get to heaven? The answer is none, because you can't get there that way. You, turning over a new leaf. V, not being too bad or comparison with others who are worse. There's always somebody out there that's involved in something that you're not involved in, right? I mean, we can automatically go from, well, I'm a pretty good person because I'm not part of the terrorist group that's raining down terror on these people. I'm not part of the group bringing all the fentanyl across the border and all. I'm not part of the group that's killing and murdering and raping and all that. I'm a good person by your standard, but it's not our standard that we're judged by. It's God's standard. W, tongues or other miraculous manifestations. Look at, we're going to end after I get through the rest of these, but turn real quick to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verses 22 and 23. This kind of ties really well with that. Tongues or other miraculous manifestations. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in the name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And then X, praying every day or having trusted God for answered prayers. I know a lot of people who are unsaved based on their idea of what salvation is all about. And yet they tell me they pray every single day and God answers their prayers. Well, you can trust that all you want, but it's not going to get you to heaven. Here's one of my favorites. Shaking a preacher's hand or walking an aisle in church. Well, I shake the preacher's hand. I must be saved. Doesn't work that way. And then Z, merely repeating the sinner's prayer without inward understanding, repentance, or faith. And this is why I have such a hard time, and never, as long as I'm here, well, we have a tract that goes out that says, repeat these words and then call us and tell us you got saved. Not happening. because they'll repeat whatever you tell them to. It's amazing. People will get married, and you'll ask them what was in their wedding vows. I don't know, I just repeated whatever they told me to say. Did it mean anything to you? I took mine seriously. They meant something to me. They still do. But there's some out there, I just repeated whatever the preacher told me to say. If the preacher said, we will give the preacher $1,000 a month for the rest of our lives, would you have repeated it? Probably. Because the preacher told him to say it. So that's why I have a hard time with this, tell them what to say and tell them they're saved. No, God wants to know what's on their heart, not what's on yours, what's on their heart. All right, all of these God states in Proverbs 14:12, there's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And we'll stop there and go on to prayer requests.